Sunday, the second Sunday before Lent. And as I look out, I'm sure we all are looking out and we think, boy, isn't this rain wonderful? And certainly it does come. It's, first of all, it's an answer to prayer. Second of all, it reinforces the Old Testament lesson in which the Lord tells Isaiah, my word is like the snow and the rain that come down from heaven. They'll accomplish what I want, and they won't return to me void. God's word always accomplishes what he sends it for, the word of law and gospel, the word that gives life in the face of death, forgiveness in the face of condemnation, and leads us to his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We begin our service today with the singing of our first hymn, 294, the word of God incarnate. At the conclusion of the fourth and last stanza, we stand and continue with our liturgy, which begins on page 5 of the fourth part of our hymn. My transgressions unto the Lord. to thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given thy only begotten Son to die for us, and have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us the knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and the true obedience of thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us and for his sake, forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe in his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Bring this, Lord, unto us all. Cast us not off forever. Wherefore do you hide your face and forget our affliction? Our souls bow down to the dust. Arise for our help and redeem us. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work you did in their days.
Unless
this exegesis of Sunday, the second Sunday before Lent, the Old Testament lesson is written in the 55th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 10th verse. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off, declares the Lord. So far, the Old Testament lesson, the epistle lesson, and also the lesson upon which this morning's sermon is based, is written in the 16th chapter of St. Luke's Acts of the Apostles, beginning at the 6th verse. Today, Paul and his companions passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul and them. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day, Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. And on the seventh day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So far the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion we speak the Amen. I praise God's word, and in him I have put my trust.
I shall not be afraid.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is a lamp to my feet. You are my hiding place and my shield. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation. O Lord, you have given a banner to them that fear you. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 4th verse. And when a great multitude were coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to Jesus, Jesus spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air destroyed it. And other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good ground, and grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, Jesus would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And Jesus' disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And Jesus said to them, "To you it is granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard it, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. So far, the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please join me as we now make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed at the top, page 12, the fourth part of our hymnal.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and stood upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with our next hymn number 296, Speak, O Lord, Thy Servant Heareth.
called, sanctified by God the Father, our Lord and Savior. Grace, mercy, and love be multiplied. Portion of the epistle lesson from St. Luke's Acts of the Apostles, which was read earlier. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. Opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and talk. And she prays. So far the text, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, if you lived in Hayward, where we live, between Foothill and Mission Boulevards, there's one thing you would become pretty used to. The sound of sirens. The sounds of sirens of fire trucks, ambulances, and sometimes it's hard to tell which is which. What usually goes through your head, or at least it goes through my head, usually, you know, this can't be good. Someone in distress and help has been summoned, or someone is being transported to hospital. Circumstances, seconds and minutes count. People's lives may be at stake. Those first responders have a critical calling, and people depend on them in matters of life and death. You know, our epistle lesson for today, Acts of the Apostles, also speaks about a critical call. But instead of earthly lives being at risk, we're talking about something much more serious. Spiritual. And it's a matter of spiritual life. Thus we see St. Paul make a change of plans, literally an about face. And there to share the word of life about. To my for this morning, activity is a critical calling, and I'll develop that in three parts. Third, knowing the results, although I think that third point could be phrased a little better, but work that out. The year is about 50 A.D., and Paul is beginning his second. He's already made plans to visit the congregations he's founded on his first missionary journey and to comfort them and to strengthen them. But all of a sudden, he runs into a. Paul's ministry. Call that Paul had, and in the leading he from what we are. To Jesus Christ, and in this endeavor, we God the Holy Spirit. But as we are called to bear testimony or to witness to Jesus, we should always be aware of those who need our help. Now a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of, and he was telling Paul, come to Macedonia. And Paul was in Troas because while he wanted to continue his missionary activity in Asia, God didn't want him to continue that activity in Asia. God had other plans for him. Paul and his companions passed through the Phrygian Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Apparently, in fact, you can look at the map. He wanted to keep going northwest to Bithynia. God. Spirit of Jesus, basically another name for the Holy Spirit, basically turned Paul around. The text doesn't tell us. Well, perhaps it could have been adverse circumstances. It could have been good sense. It could have been... But the Spirit, however, led Paul and Silas and Timothy to the port city of Troas, where Paul had a vision. Was opening a new door for Paul's missionary activity. The unnamed Macedonian said to Paul, "Come and help us." And it was a cry, not in any physical danger or any physical need. But obviously he was in spiritual danger and spiritual need. This was a call for spiritual help. But the danger was as great as, if not greater, than if he had been in physical danger. As a matter of fact, even where we live, people are quick to speak about and if there's physical danger, they call 9/11. But they're really reluctant to speak about any kind of spiritual danger, any kind of spiritual blindness of others vary. Economic situation, their and so on. So down in the dumps with economic misfortune, marital problems, health problems, see the world through ebony-colored glasses, and they can't see a Christ who wishes to help them with the forgiveness of sins. But in any spiritual problem, we should be able to identify the problem, bring that help. How we live, all of us. As a matter of fact, you know, we also needed spiritual help because we were in spiritual danger, and for most of us, that help was given to us by our parents who brought us to the baptismal font where we were baptized into the death of Christ and then raised to newness of life in his resurrection. Others of us need and spoke the good news of Jesus to us because others saw our spiritual need for salvation. We should always remember that others may stand in that same need of hearing God's good news in Christ as well. Now, it's true that some don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, they may not want to hear that they are sinners or that Christ went to the cross to pay for their sins. But you know something? Thank God, others do want to hear it. Now, to speak about Jesus is a critical calling, especially when we see the spiritual needs of others. And to see this need, we don't have to cross the ocean far away land. Sometimes all we have to do is go next door. Sometimes all we have to do is look across the table when we have family gatherings, such as Thanksgiving. Sometimes all we have to do is look at the desk next to us, wherever it is. As a matter of fact, very often those who need spiritual need may be closer to us than we ever imagined. Now, not only do we see the need, we should also be careful to obey God's call. Luke writes, and help. It was none other than God himself. They lost no time in arranging passage from Troas to cross that little arm of the Aegean and to go to Macedonia. As a matter of fact, they got to Samothrace, and then continuing to sail along the coast, they arrived at Neapolis, which was a city for Philippi, and Philippi was about 10 miles inland. I'm guessing that they... Macedonia was divided into four regions, and this was the capital or the chief city of this one region, which was closest to being across the sea from Troas. It was also an independent city which modeled its administration on Rome, and as a matter of fact, a large number of its citizens were retired legionnaires who had been granted land upon their retirement. Apparently, it didn't have enough synagogue. Well, what can we learn about the consequences of Paul obeying God's call to go to Macedonia? After all, God had closed one door, was opening a whole new door. Well, we should not believe that it's always easy to follow God's calling. More often than not, in following God's call, Paul experienced the hatred and opposition of others as they rejected the good news he was bringing to them. Also, he had to endure beatings and imprisonment. As a matter of fact, if we read a few verses in chapter 16, the people of Philippi threw him in prison. He was looking for a kind of a peaceful life without any problem. Do that because, as he would later write, "For I consider the sufferings of this present age not worthy to be compared to us." The Lord immediately told his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of baptizing them of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age." Apply not just to the disciples or to those who have been called formally as missionaries, but they apply to each and every Christian. Jesus said that this is to share the gospel. And as we do that, he is with us until he will come again. The Apostle Peter also has another reason to obey God's calling. He writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you light. For once you are not a people, but now you are the people. Not receive mercy, but now you receive mercy. We have been called to be heirs of the heavenly glory revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And this heavenly glory, nothing less. Share with those in the promise of spiritual life in the face of the verdict of spiritual death apart from Christ." And when we to be a witness, we will what was in the city for a few days, Luke writes, "And on the Sabbath, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us. Well, what can we learn about Paul and his missionary activity in Philippi? Wherever Paul went to a strange city where he had not been before, he looked for a synagogue in the city. Then he went down to the river. Most cities were built beside rivers on a Sabbath day to see if there might be praying to the one true God. Paul went to the Jews first because spiritually he contained Paul spoke to Lydia and those who were with her. Maybe those were her female companions. But what do we read about the result of that conversation? By the way, we have no record of what it was that Paul said. But we can guess, because that it was the Lord who opened her heart to respond to Paul. So first of all, we see it wasn't up to Paul to convert Lydia. It was God the Holy Spirit working through the words spoken by Paul that opened her heart. Now, what are the words that open one's heart? It's the good news of forgiveness, that Christ indeed went to the cross to pay for her sins and the sins of the world, and that he rose from the dead on the third day to assure her that now she was right with God. As a matter of fact, we know, because elsewhere Paul writes that he is determined to know one thing and one thing only: Christ and him crucified. It is, as our gospel lesson says, the seed that fell on the good soil. It is, as our Old Testament lesson says, God's return unto him void without accomplishing the thing for which it was sent. God's word will always have results. Now, sometimes when we can see those results in a positive way, Paul certainly rejoiced when Lydia immediately responded. Heart had been opened, and she was faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the Lord, not only the Old Testament, but faithful to the Word of God incarnate, he who is the promise of the prophets, Jesus Christ. And not only did she, so her whole household. On the flip side, and there's always a flip side, side B, so this is side A, this is the hit. What about the side B? You know, those old 45 records, they had a side A and a side B. Side B is that we know that neither Paul nor us are outsiders. In Athens, for example, in the next chapter, we read about speaking before the Areopagus, and most of the people were scoffers. But then some said, you know, we're going to hear more about this. Or we read just a few verses on in chapter 16, and Paul and Silas were beaten in Philippi and thrown into prison for their troubles. God's word of law and God. Sometimes the result time after the seed has fallen. Sometimes it takes a long time to germinate. Sometimes it takes quite a while to see the results. Just for example, think of the years that Monica, St. Augustine's mother, prayed for him until he finally was converted. When people are physically threatened, they call 9/11. But in matters, sometimes when we don't feel we have the words or don't feel that the time is right, Never underestimate the power of bringing another soul to God in prayer. And when we have done this, we have discharged our calling and we hand the outcome in the hands of our loving God. All the ability to say, for we cannot stop speaking about the things which and we would trust us. We see the spiritual needs of others. We obey his call. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, our hearts and minds, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now turn back to page 12 of our four-part of our hymnal, and we join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory, and at the conclusion we shall receive the offering. Almighty and everlasting God, who art worthy to be had and reverenced by all the children of men, we give thee most humble and hearty thanks for the innumerable blessings, both temporal and spiritual, which, without any merit or worthiness on our part, thou hast bestowed upon us. We praise thee especially that thou hast preserved unto us in their purity thy saving word and the sacred ordinances of thy house, and we beseech thee, O Lord, to preserve and extend thy kingdom of grace, and to grant unto thy holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors, who shall preach thy word with power, and help all who hear rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send forth laborers into thy harvest, and open the door of faith unto all the heathen and unto the people of Israel. In mercy remember the enemies of thy church, and grant unto them repentance unto life. Be thou the protector and defender of thy people in all time of tribulation and danger, and may we, in communion with thy church and in brotherly unity with all our fellow Christians, fight the good fight of faith and in the end receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow thy grace upon all the nations of the earth, especially do we entreat thee to bless our land and all its inhabitants and all who are in authority. Cause thy grace to dwell among us, and let mercy and truth, righteousness and peace everywhere prevail. To this end we commend to thy care all our schools, and pray thee to make them nurseries of useful knowledge and Christian virtues, that they may bring forth the wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamities by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine. Protect and prosper everyone in his appropriate calling, and cause all useful arts to flourish among us. Be thou the God and Father of the widow and the fatherless children, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the forsaken and distressed. Accept, we beseech thee, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before thee, which is our reasonable service. Heavenly Father, we would ask that thou wouldst be with those in our midst who are ill, and also those whom we know are ill. Grant them that thy hand of healing be upon them, and grant them that healing and strength which is needful for mind, body, and spirit, and bless those in the medical arts who attend them. To this end, we especially remember Nancy, Roy, Alex, Judy, Cindy, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, Kurt, our neighbor Sue, Harold's friend Sue, Don Drew's, Doug, Richard, Ruth, Eric, and those whose names on our hearts, which we lift up unto you now. We would ask that you would be with those in our those pastors and teachers in our synod who have been called, and also with those congregations who are calling. Grant an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit to all of them, that those who are called may see where their talents may best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and those who are calling may not lose hope during the call process. We thank you for the rain which has replenished and watered the earth, and we ask that you would continue in your graciousness to continue to send that rain, for we are in dire straits. We ask that you would bless the talks between our synod and the Wells and the ELS, and grant to those representatives of the CLC an extra measure of that wisdom which is from above. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work thou hast given us to do while it is day, before the night cometh when no man can work, and when our last hour shall come. Support us by thy power and receive us into thine everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth with thee and the Holy Ghost forever and ever, and who hath also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. Amen. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. We now conclude our service with the singing of 49, Almighty.